Welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Yes, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Ever Beyond. This is the first live show we've had today. It's a slow day. It's a kind of grey, rainy day here in northern Scotland. we went to a... there was a concert in the local park last night, and we had to go home after a couple of the acts because it was just so cold. The wind had dropped, so the midges had started to bite as well. So things weren't particularly great, but it was one of the days when everything happened on the one day. Every social group had gathered to have some kind of event on the same day. It was just a completely ridiculous thing. So anyway, welcome to the midsummer season of Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. I realised when I played that jingle earlier that had the phone number that that's a completely wrong phone number. So this is the phone number that you need to ring.
Call in on 1-775-657-5973. That's 1-775-657-5973. This is Wolf Spirit Radio.
And indeed, that is our correct number. But what I haven't done is I haven't logged into the Wolf Spirit switchboard, so I'm going to have to do that just while we're talking here. And can I remember the password? Nope, I got to look that up as well. Okay, well, anyway, I'll do that while we're talking. So, I hope you're all well. We've been blasted in the last couple of days in the last couple of weeks, actually, by the solar flare energy from the sun. It's been absolutely ridiculous this last couple of weeks. There was one, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday a couple of weeks ago. At that point, I got a headache, and until today, it's still going, of sorts. I've tried all the usual remedies. I think I'm just stuck with it, really. So this is the situation that we find ourselves in. I'll try not to moan too much. Okay, I'm logged in as the Wolf Spirit switchboard now, which is that number 1-775-657-5973. You'll come straight into the studio here. If you called in. No, it won't. We're much more robust than that, Jack. Jack's saying if he calls in, Wolf Spirit Radio might spontaneously combust. My sinuses sound inflamed. Well, they probably are. I don't know. I'm just looking at the screen here, and there's millions of chat boxes that are opening because I only log into this thing once a week, and there's all these people here. Oh, come on. Right. So it's going to take a while to get the phone system up, but you are able to call me on that aforementioned number, 1-775-657-5973, or indeed you can call me using Skype on wolfspirit.switchboard. We are able to have many people called in at the same time. It's an open show. I have no specific guest arranged tonight. I'm very happy to speak to people if they want to talk about stuff from an esoteric point of view. I'm not really interested in talking about details like laws and things like that. It's really that's for other people. That would just add to my headache, really. I'm very happy to speak on various things. Oh yes, well, Chris, would you like to call in and discuss the latest Cliff High Wujo with me? It would be very interesting. This is wolfspirit.switchboard on Skype, and you can call in either on that or on the phone number that we give you regularly. So lovely to see you all. Lovely to it's a nice little group here in the chat room. Hope you all enjoyed my show last week with Rita. What a delight. Absolutely delightful. And Tobias, if you're interested in coming in and talking about how things have changed for you, Tobias is in the chat room there, and he is one of the people who has had a change of rays. That's a joke. Who's actually had a change of rays in the last couple of weeks. It's been a very interesting journey for him, and if you wish to call in and speak about that, Tobias, that would be very interesting. What else have we been? Well, we've had the Tolek stuff, and not only do we have Tolek talking to us about the Andromedan Council, we also have Mark Kimmel, who was a guest on my Revolution Radio show a couple of weeks ago. And he was, they're basically all saying the same kind of thing. Something's happening quite soon. Today also there was the Greek election. I got a feeling that it's been, that it was rigged, but you know, that's just me. I'm being a conspiratorial tinfoil hat wearer. But I do have a feeling that the whole thing is a program to force the world into a particular way of slavery rather than independence. If you would like to call in on 1-775-657-5973, I'm going to keep repeating that and bore you stupid until somebody calls in. Where were we? Yeah, so we've had solar flares. We've had an enormous rock pass by asteroid-wise. There was no name for it. They didn't, there was just not enough time for this thing to be named. Which brings us into the subject of going into a dirty area of space. Now, you know, in solar system terms, a bit of dirt might not mean much. But on human terms, a bit of space dirt might be a block of stone about 2 miles wide. You know, it's all a matter of scale, really, and what we see as sort of grains of dust, if you magnified those, would be just enormous pieces of rock. And that's what passed by us just a couple of days ago. It came and went very quickly, almost we had no warning of this. You know, it's just a piece of rock. You know, it's not glowing, it's not got any temperature, so there's no way of detecting it incoming with infrared. Which then, you know, begs the question: well, if that one got through, what else is going to get through? The world is watching the skies intently. And it's very interesting that the area where I live normally has really good skies, really clear skies. One of the reasons that the Royal Air Force moved here all those years ago was because this is one of the areas with the clearest sky. So it's a very interesting very interesting thing that we're completely covered by clouds at the moment. These aren't chemtrails, but the sky and the weather has been really quite grey and awful, if you like going out. So, if you have questions from the chat room, do remember to put them in uppercase. And the reason is because my failing eyes, I'm sitting about 3 or 4 feet away from the screen, and I have to lean forward to read the screen. That's so I'll go off mic if I read the screen. So if I'm talking and you've got a question or a statement in uppercase, it means that I can read it from where I am without going off mic, which makes things a lot easier for everybody. So, Quattro, sounds like we all need to send energy to the grid. Yes, I think really the main thing is to get to a point of joy and happiness within your own self. That's plenty. Oh, bye bye, Catherine. Nice to have you. To get to a point of joy within yourself, because really there's nobody else is going to do it for you, and certainly the world is not going to make it happen. Certainly the world of programming that we're all subject to, they're all wanting you to be in a miserable place. So I would really encourage people, if there is something that makes you happy, something that makes you joyful, do it as much as you can. Alright, there's Chris. So, yeah, do come in, Chris. yeah, I've seen the Bates method. It's exercise, you know, 5 minutes a day for this, 5 minutes a day for that, and you end up with no days left. But it's an interesting thing. My housemate also has these things called pinhole glasses, which are quite remarkable, especially if you're short-sighted. You can wear these things, and they work like a pinhole camera, so they work like lenses. And even the most short-sighted person, when they wear them, can actually see quite clearly through them. Kind of normalizes your vision, and there's no different prescription for any of them. They're all just a series of pinholes, like perforated hardboard. So let's get Chris on the line. Let's call him. And see what let's get him going. There, you don't have to mute yourself, Chris. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. It's good to hear your voice again.
You too.
Long time no copy. So, where should we start, eh? By the way, I don't need to read Chris's rays. I read them a couple of years ago. Chris has a first ray monad, second ray soul, and fourth ray personality, which gives him an extreme sensitivity on the etheric vision realms and things like that. So and telepathic and all those good things, and in touch with his healing abilities. So how have you been?
I've been well, and obviously feeling the emotions, which what has been kind of going on. You know, you mentioned about the sun acting up again, and you know, things are really just heating up, you know, increasingly. It brings me back to what Cliff High was saying about, you know, kind of the hotter things become, you know, our poor monkey minds are going to kind of cross circuit a bit, and people start going like, you know, a bit mad, really, when the brain gets cooked, you know. So you know, I find that with myself. I have days where I'm like, what the frick is happening, you know, kind of an excessive kind of, you know, aggression and irritability and whatnot. And so it's quite hard,
yeah,
at times to go with the flow and to come to that realization. It's like, hold on, I'm more control of this than I feel,
yeah,
and than I think, yeah.
Yeah, it's best not to get caught along with the sort of the roller coaster flow of it. But
yeah,
as you say that reminds me of another little thing that happened last week. We have a local shoe shop. They're quite new, and they're a lovely couple, and they're also connected with our local exchange system, and have been very kind and generous, and offering offering shoes and things on with great discounts and things like that. So yeah, by the way, this is Chris Leprechaun, who I'm speaking with, and I spoke to the guy, and he said on, when was it, Thursday, three things happened. The first thing was a heroin addict, known local heroin addict, came in, tried to steal something, was stopped by the guy, Bruce. Now, the thing is, sadly for the poor addict, Bruce is a roadie for Ultravox, right? He lifts enormous amounts of stuff. The poor fellow, he didn't come out of it very well. But that wasn't all. I mean, this was like the culmination. Before that, a woman in her 50s, who you'd think, you know, quite straight and all that, with the name tag still on her coat of where she works, you know, it's like, my name's Brenda. It wasn't Brenda, but you know. Comes in and tries to steal several pairs of tights with the name tag on, right? CCTV, name tag, not a good idea. And then two teenage girls come in, and again, all on the CCTV, steal their stuff. The word has gone around. People are going crazy. They're doing absolutely stupid things. And that was one shoe shop in our town.
Yeah, and you've got three there. Yeah. You know, the and I hear that three. I just think, you know, the good old universal law of three.
The law of three.
I don't need any other clarification. People are going a little bit loopy, a little bit, you know. But that's explainable. You know, they may not realise this. But then we have the reports. There were two, you know, successful reports of this type of like zombieism, or like kind of a spark come kind of like cannibalism happening in different parts of the world as well. Just like these random acts of kind of a gory kind of like hands on kind of zombie stuff, eating, cannibal stuff,
eating faces,
eating each
off.
Other.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, yes, very kind of very disturbing stuff. But again, that kind of brings us back to, again, what we were chatting about initially, and what Cliff was saying, verifying with his data as well. It's like, you know, kind of, you know, it's like that line that Samuel L. Jackson has got when he's opening up and he's bringing Jurassic Park online. You know, he's got a cigarette in his mouth and he kind of hits that enter button. He's like, hold on to your butts. So that's that kind of period that we are really coming into now, and it's really ramping up, and I definitely like to get into some of that stuff regarding farsight.org and the gentleman who was interviewed with Kerry Cassidy, I just listened to this earlier on, the remote viewer Courtney Brown, who's the principal investigator director, and I sent you the Cliff's new woo. He put it up on the very early in the morning on the 16th of June on his website, and this stuff really did, you know, resonate with me. I was going to go back to his website to listen to his Wujo chat on meditation, but then I found this and I'm like, oh, okay, here we go, and it was just between 30 to 40 minutes, but it was incredibly interesting, incredibly resonating, and actually quite freaking alarming as well. And furthermore to that, I had a short conversation, synchronous chat with Katie Galanti, who verified quite a lot of stuff which has been kind of happening for her as well. And again, that good old universal law of three, these markers, these indicators, you know, in the here and now, which are kind of giving her signs to say, look, get yourself ready, kind of have your kind of like your safe spot, your sweet spot, wherever you're, you know, you need to be, because things are going to get bumpy. And you know what's in the middle of this is what we're about to jump into. It's the farsight.org and the remote viewing of the two possible timelines. The 1st of June timeline A, the 1st of June 2013, and timeline B, the 1st of June 2013.
Right. So let's clarify for those who are not familiar. So, first of all, just to answer, I'm speaking with Chris Noonan, who's who lives in London and is known in the chat room as Leprechaun. What is your Leprechaun number, isn't it?
10, 10.
Yeah, Leprechaun 10.
Yes, I created that in 2010, yes.
Oh, Leprechaun. I see, that's right, yeah, right. Yes. And we are discussing a post that he made the other day, which is from Cliff High. Now, Cliff hasn't actually been on Wolf Spirit Radio. He hasn't been interviewed on Wolf Spirit Radio, although he has been a past guest of Rebecca Jernigan, before long time before Wolf Spirit Radio, and I think actually that's, you know, it's how I got to Rebecca's site in the beginning, is you know, looking for this webbot interview. Cliff, for those who don't know who Cliff is a well, he started out as an IT guy like me, he was working on aggregating vast amounts of data, and then eventually noticed that he could compress data and also see trends occurring, and he developed it further. And originally thought he'd want to you know, work the stock exchange and, you know, see if he could predict what the stock exchange would do. And stuff like that, as you do, you know. The first thing he typed in was sun, because he thought he would be looking at Stanford University Networks. They make workstations for Unix machines, and he was looking at their stock, but he kept on getting this stuff about sun disease. And this is way back in the late 90s. He was getting this information. Anyway, so he worked on it and worked on it and refined it. And at a certain point in September, he noticed that there was a trend that appeared to be something to do with buildings and possible terrorists and stuff like that. And of course, you know, he was seeing 9/11 building up in a predictive way. And so he saw, right, okay, this is going to work, so let's keep going with this. And until very recently, he's been talking, and you know, Chris and I have been listening to his interviews for many years, and he's always been talking about the thing that he calls the data gap. And when we he said that the data gap starts sometime in March 2012. Well, March 2012 has passed, and it turns out that the gap in the data is very connected with the switching off the internet in the Arab Spring, and that there will, that he's talking about the data has these little holes, Swiss cheese like holes, all over the place, and then there's the big discontinuity, which happens at some point. So, having laid the background of that, do you want to carry on, Chris, and tell everybody?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. And I'll try to be. I'm a very wordy person as well. That's why I like. I'm very descriptive, and you know, I really like Cliff. Cliff, first and foremost, you know, he's not just an IT guy. I guess that's correct. He's a linguist as well. He's really involved with the power of the word. Incredibly like witty gentleman, and he doesn't like to speculate. He doesn't like why questions, and he's a forecaster. He's not a predictor. That's something that he would always pull people up on. But definitely, I would very much encourage people to have a look at his work on Half Past. It's www.halfpasthuman.com, and check out his Wujo and his articles. Incredibly funny. And then he's got his Alta, his Shape reports, which are, it's got a lot of more serious material in there as well. But nevertheless, it's a very, very interesting website to have a look at. But anyway, yeah, the post-2012 Earth Changes, I just have farsight.org in front of me. So I stumbled onto Cliff's site last night. So what's happened is that he had this dawning realization. A lot of things have fallen into place for him. Mm. all of a sudden there is a big data gap which is kind of showing up for him between March 2013 and June 2013. And what's been popping up?
You mean March 2012?
Beg your pardon. No. This we're going on to 2013 because there's a particular he usually gets to forecast ahead by about say 15 to 18 months, and that is not actually occurring for him right now. He's only getting these short term reports.
Right.
So what he was mentioning in his kind of in his audio blog last night was like, aha! Now I realise what's going on. There's this dawning realization, and it's quite urgent. He needs to go back, he needs to re-examine the data, and he needs to get himself physically ready where he is in his own area. What is happening is he's found this synchronicity with his data over the past couple of reports. Over the past few years, there has been a particular tag he's had, which is called the global populace. And there has been data coming across about rising volcanism, and the Earth is going to be very, very, very effective, kind of tsunamis, massive kind of like waves, things like that. So it was more what he was discussing in his audio blog is, aha, I know why this is now. He gives us a bit of background to this gentleman on the farsight.org page, which is Courtney Brown, and he really just ties it all together. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to give a little bit of a background about the farsight.org website. I'm just going to read some bits and pieces from it. So basically, the Farsight Institute, it's www.farsight.org, they're engaged in an incredibly interesting study regarding remote viewing, and they're using this to study climate and planetary change within the in the next couple of years. So they set up this really, really big experiment, and it began in 2008. So they were interested. This gentleman was interested in setting up an experiment to see, okay, well, I wonder what the world will be like kind of post 2012. What will it be like? What changes shall there be? So they kind of had they looked at things in 2008 when they began, and then they remote viewed to the 1st of June 2013, but they set two particular points. They set a timeline A and a timeline B. They've got 2008, which is the control, which was the present moment then when they started it off, and then they remote viewed to two timelines in 2013. So you've got timeline A. I'm just going to read that here for you now. Timeline A is the 1st of June 2013, 12 noon, target local time. Following the timeline in which the leadership of the mainstream global scientific establishment continues to ignore or deny, one, the reality of remote viewing phenomenon, and two, the existence of life not originating on Earth. And then we have timeline B, which is the 1st of June 2013, 12 noon, target local time, following the timeline by which the end of 2009 leaders of the mainstream global scientific establishment publicly recognize, one, the reality of remote viewing phenomenon, and to the existence of life not originating from Earth. And with this massive remote viewing experiment, the project described changes between the years 2008 and 2013 across nine specific geographical locations with a global spread. So some of these locations would be Tuvalu, Fort Jesus in Mombasa in Kenya, Sydney Opera House in Australia, Mount Kilimanjaro, United States Congress Building, Washington, D.C., Honolulu, Hawaii, and Key West in Florida. Now, I'll just cut straight to the chase. One of the alarming and most interesting things is that when they took all of these reports and they got things together, yes, there were changes by the 1st of June 2013. One of the most important things is that they found evidence of impact from what appears to be large meteors leading to tsunamis and possible volcanism, extensive and forceful flooding of coastal areas, excessive solar radiation, and storms and other severe weather. And the effects of these on humans, the data also suggests that there will be a massive self-organized relocation from coastal areas. We would have refugees, the breakdown of rescue and other notable government functioning, the breakdown of the food supply system, the breakdown of the vehicular transport system, and the extensive loss of buildings near coasts. So there's a lot of emphasis on the coasts here as well. When I listened to the interview with Courtney Brown and Kerry Cassidy, he did say that Sydney Opera House, for example, in Sydney, Australia, it was intact, but it was very much damaged. There was no real cars, there was no electricity, there was nothing kind of really happening along these particular coastlines. And he also did point out very importantly with this particular data that it wasn't like civilization was completely wiped out. It's just that things have very much significantly changed due to the possible tsunamis and volcanism. He also mentioned about, for example, United States Congress building in Washington D.C. as well. That would be significantly damaged, but there wouldn't be much or many kind of life kind of happening around that. It would be quite desolate. So that is the basis of things. And then he continues to speak about, you know, kind of the speculation and prediction of the event and the timelines and things like that. And then he goes on to explain, well, you know, the governments have been kind of quite odd. A lot of governments around the world have been quite odd since 2011, building their bunkers and whatnot, and why the global, you know, the financial crisis hasn't really kind of, you know, been resolved. It's like Cliff was also saying, it's like, well, things are being allowed to run their course, as in, well, we kind of have an idea of what is kind of like on the way, kind of, so yeah, really kind of let's like kind of throw it up, kind of who cares anyway. Quite alarming.
Yeah, but, so they're saying, you know, let's not bother with Fukushima because this thing's going to be much worse than that.
Exactly. That is one that's one important thing that that Cliff High did mention about as well. Fukushima is a massive issue, more than people realize. That is a real kind of, if you want to kind of get into a kind of catastrophobia, Fukushima could spell the end for many human in our fragile blue planet, as Dave Corso would say. You know, that is really kind of hot right now. But what is on the way would take the emphasis away from Fukushima. So I don't want to get kind of bogged down about kind of, you know, too much. This data and this stuff gets really kind of detailed, but I kind of hope that I've kind of covered succinctly the main points. They used many remote trained remote viewers in this as well. They made sure the data was, you know, it was collected correctly. It was encrypted to a military level as well. I mean, this gentleman, Courtney Brown, has been extremely smart in the way he has gone about with the data as well, and particular like kind of passwords and codes and whatnot. And really, at the end of this, he says, "Well, we'll know whether the experiment has been a thumbs up or a thumbs down when, you know, on or before the 1st of June." 2013, but Cliff is kind of really kind of hitting home, saying, well, look, this makes a lot more sense why I'm having data gaps and why I'm only able to do a particular short-term forecast right now within only so many months, when I can actually do, say, 15 to 18 months ahead. So, I mean, I would encourage people to go to halfpasthuman.com and listen to Cliff's latest Wujo, his description about the remote viewing, and Courtney Brown and Cliff he's even more succinct. He's such a pro. He's so great, like, at laying this out kind of, you know, on the plate. He's more used to it than I am. So that's pretty much it, JP. And I guess we'll kind of weed this out as we go along. But again, this is something that Cliff said himself that people should be like really getting out there, you know. And if it is something which gnaws on you, as he would say, well, kind of, you know, start to act upon this, start to share this with others, start to discuss it. Also, I mean, I've got a family member who is in the Sydney region of Australia as well. So that kind of quite alarmed myself. The way this has all been, you know, kind of threaded, you know, nicely together by Courtney, and especially by Cliff as well, it's very interesting, but it's also very alarming. It does resonate, you know. It does hit home. It makes sense. And when I chatted to Katie Galanti, who's also been a guest on Wolf Spirit Radio and various other networks, you know, about this, this really brings home and makes us think, especially when you listen to this new Woo Job by Cliff as well, you come to realization of, aha, now I see where I am where I am in my position in life. For example, you tend to kind of take a look at yourself and what is kind of going on around you as well. And I don't know what it was, JP, it's just that some other things really started to make sense after I listened to this and I chatted to Katie about this. I kind of had my own aha kind of moments regarding that as well, and I looked at things even more closely and did some further retrospection. So I'll leave it right there. I'm not too sure if people kind of have kind of questions about that, or they want to kind of forage and kind of have a look at the information themselves, or whether you have any further questions about this, JP, or I've been talking quite a lot now, so I'm quite conscious of that.
That's right, but let's drill down into a little bit of the detail of what he's talking about.
Sure.
I mean, basically, and in fact, you know, I was talking to my housemate earlier about this particular subject, and it wasn't like it was a surprise. He's been a green campaigner for many years. And there have been, you know, not the word isn't rumor. It's been mooted. Let's put it that way. That, you know, if there was any kind of asteroid impact, there would be this kind of response to it. And the question is, and here's my take on it. In the old days, you know, back in the old days when you had kings and queens doing stuff, they would always have a court magician or a court seer. And the way I see it is that if you're driving along the road in the dark, as we are, you need headlamps. You need to be able to see in front of you so that you know that the space that you're in front of you, it doesn't have a gaping great hole, you know, that you're going to fall down and break into. So you would have people who could read the way that read the tendencies of the world and see if they were able to foresee any circumstances that might be unfavorable, and then you at least have the ability to respond in your own way to it. Mm-hmm. And this is my attitude towards psychics and remote viewers. You know, whether, you know, a remote viewer is essentially a trained psychic. They're using almost the same kind of muscles, but it's not a natural gift, as it were, or curse. It's something that is inculcated, is trained in, and so therefore anybody else can do it. Everybody else can do it. I don't know if anybody's ever seen the film "The Men Who Stare at Goats." Is the name of it. It's a humorous film. I was talking again. My housemate was a real film buff and thought it was a rubbish piece of film. But I said that, you know, it's about the subject matter rather than the presentation. But the idea that it was a group who originally wanted to win wars for the U.S. Army without having to, you know, what was the question was, how do we improve? You know, how can we win wars better? And he came up, well, the best way to win a war is not to get into it. And so if you could remote view, if you could look into the future, or look elsewhere and see where plans are being evolved, it's much easier to deal with things rather than when you're in the present and having to deal with the big situations that you're faced with. So there are cycles that we go by. People watch the cycles. Remote viewing uses techniques to be able to see tendencies, or perhaps even to see the future itself, because you know we've been told many times that time is an illusion. And in fact, that's something that my guide said to me a few days ago, is that the more you realize that time is an illusion, the more things like past lives, future lives, parallel lives become a kind of like an accessibility. You get greater accessibility by thinking, right, okay, there's no time, therefore this is happening now, and all I need to do is connect telepathically with this this event or person or place, and I can get all the information. And that's really, I think, the basis of what remote viewing is about. I can't say it right. Remote viewing.
Remote viewing. Yeah. I just wanted to kind of come more towards what Courtney, this gentleman, was saying about the regarding the speculation on his data as well. And these are kind of like all of the oddities which have been happening in the past few years. Well, it's like, well, if this is going on, like, well, what the heck? For example, some examples would be the U.S. space shuttle. Missions. It served its last mission in mid 2011. You know, and NASA, entirely abandoned its government funded, manned space flight, kind of like program. It's like, well, why has it kind of just come to an end so soon, so quick as that? Another thing is also the Svalbard Global Seed Vault. That was sealed back in 2011 as well. This allows, the world to start, restart agriculture if there was a global catastrophe. The United Nations formally inspected this facility, and apparently that was a bit odd because, well, this was a Norwegian project, but the United Nations had something to do with this, and apparently the timing of this project seemed to people like a strange coincidence. Another thing is the US and its global debt. It's kind of like that the various governments are not expecting to have to pay back their debts. They're perhaps like they're anticipating, a global economic reset due to reasons that maybe are not currently stated. And the digging, there's lots and lots and lots of digging that's going on. Courtney goes on to state that, the US has no quote unquote nuclear enemies, but yet it's digging huge underground facilities in inhospitable regions, difficult for the masses to reach. Mm-hmm. But he draws comparisons with the Chinese. Chinese tend to think collectively, and China is digging extraordinary, subway complexes under most of its major cities in a kind of in this big like quick crash program. That seems quite odd in terms of timing and scope. And Russia, they announced in 2011 that they'd be adding 5,000 new nuclear bombshell shelters in Moscow, enabling to protect all of Moscow's residents. And the program is to be rushed, so it's actually finished this year in 2012. WHY? Why is this is this happening? So we've got these big holes. We've got subway systems being created in deep emergency shelter. So there's like all of these preparations which are being like rushed to the finish line. So why is this occurring? This is raising eyebrows here. And of course NASA is also predicting that the sun may generate unprecedented solar storms for quite a lengthy period, 2012 to 2013, maybe a bit beyond that. So we're not able to accurately predict the Earth's normal weather, a week in advance. But it's not really kind of clear how NASA can kind of do this with respect to the unprecedented weather on the sun, years in advance. So basically, it's like, well, okay, some things might suggest that NASA is kind of acting in a way if it has some extra information that's not currently being stated at the moment. Of course, we had this video on YouTube that came out last year about, NASA, basically the gentleman from NASA, this African-American gentleman was saying to, the NASA employees, be prepared, get ready. And we were all watching this, in 2011 going, well, what's going on? Does that refer to this year? Does it refer to 2013? So there's quite a lot of speculation and questions asked, which ties in with what Cliff High has been kind of talking about and drawing conclusions from, based on the work of Farsight.org and the massive remote viewing experiment, which was carried out by Courtney Brown. So it's very interesting, and it does raise kind of eyebrows in this area as well. It's like, why are the governments acting so weird and rushing all these jobs to be finished by the end of this year? What's going on? Mm. So yeah.
So first of all, where I've got a sort of a comment in the chat room. Do you have any way? Have you got a some search terms, for instance, that can people can Google to get to the Russian bomb shelter stories and things like that?
Oh yeah, I'm just checking myself. I feel obviously the best thing to check about Russia. Let me see if you could check the New York Times article, which was printed, I feel, around the 27th of March, 2009. If you were to use keywords, say, for example, Moscow, that's M-O-S-C-O-W, Moscow, Russia, bomb shelters, 2012, for example, things like that would probably bring up quite a few articles and forums and collectives and things like that. But there was a big spread done by the New York Times on the 27th of March 2009 regarding subway complexes being dug, and I feel that one is in relation to China and its big crash program of digging these massive and extensive subway complexes.
Mm. So they're digging holes.
Yes,
Cliff thinks it's a stupid idea because they'll be turned into chunky salsa inside the holes when the shockwave hits the planet.
He pretty much said that. Yeah, they'll turn into some sort of goop or jello. He says there's no point in them actually going underground, and he made references to Hillary Clinton. He feels at some point, next year, people are going to be like turning around and to each other and going, "Well, what? Well, we haven't seen. We kind of haven't heard anything from Hillary Clinton, in some time. Why? That's because she's kind of down in the bunker. Mm. She's getting prepared." But he says that this will serve them no purpose. If there were to be massive shockwaves and the way that would ripple through the earth, and that would destabilize the earth itself. That will, in fact, it could be a double edged sword for the powers that be and people and other people like Hillary Clinton who are hiding out, that they could be some of the first
victims
to go.
Yeah.
First victims. Ironically enough, they've gone to these massive shelters, and they could be pulverized. They could be vaporized by something. Either way, they could be liquefied in some form, as Cliff put it so funnily. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's another point. There's a couple of comments, but Wolf Baby was saying, "I got dreams years ago not to go into any shelters or UFOs for that matter." And let's just expand the subject. Because obviously they're trying to create a situation where we feel overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Because that's the fear and panic stops you from thinking clearly, stops you from being in connection with your higher self, which will tell you the right thing to do at the right time. Really, I would say for everybody who's listening, if the stuff does start to hit the fan, not to panic, to stay calm. Keep the meditations going. Try to be as calm and as strong for the people around you as possible, because you're forewarned. You've believed in this stuff. There's going to be a time when people are going to turn around and they'll be coming to you, and there may be panicked voices. There may be people screaming and. It's really the best thing is to keep yourself calm and keep everybody else calm, because it's the harvest, really, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I'd really like to echo what you were saying, JP. You really hit on some great points, and just to really emphasize that to the listeners and whoever may listen to the recorded show as well, that, you know, it is what it is. You know, you are on your process, you know, you're engaged in your process right now, you are on your journey, you are exactly where you need to be right now listening to this show and many shows like this. You are collating information, you are gathering data, you are listening intently. The record button inside you is well and fully switched on, it is pressed down. For everything, there is, you know, there is a reason. There is a season for all of this. So by no means, kind of, you know, put to one side or dispute that. Oh, well, I'm just kind of like listening, and it may be useful. No, I feel that, like you were saying, JP, that this is where exactly where you're supposed to be, and this is very important. This gathering of data, this gathering and sharing of information, and openly discussing this as well, because who are we to say that tomorrow we could wake up, there could be absolute, you know, kind of like darkness outside, no one has a freaking kind of clue what's going on, or there could be a massive shockwave, or your windows could get blown in, there's some solar stuff happening, but something inside you will be like, aha, you'll be able to analyze this and gather what's going on very quickly. And then you become a light for yourself and for others as well. So by no means belittle yourself or kind of make small of what is going on in the here and now for you with your particular journey. The fact that you are here and you are listening to this show, I feel it is of the utmost importance. And it means something. It means something. And that really hit me last night, JP. You know, when I was chatting to Katie about this, who was making her own preparations, who's seeing her own kind of connections to what is happening out there, who is getting offers. You know, the universal law of three, things like this are happening. Things are exactly, again, I'll repeat that again, exactly the way they are supposed to be. I'm based in southeast of the United Kingdom. I'm in Greater, you know, London. I am based. I'm based, you know, very, very near to underground, an underground network of tunnels and whatnot. And I'm here for my other personal and professional reasons in the UK and in London as well. But last night, I just looked. I looked beyond this, and I was like, "Holy crap! Right, okay. Maybe this could be why I'm feeling a bit stuck. Maybe I'm being held back. It's like, whoa, 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 hold on. This is why the doors aren't, you know, swinging open right now. I've always introspected and go, is it me? But there was so many things last night, you know, on an esoteric level, Jeremy, which made sense to me, and I was like, crap, I'm in this particular area, I'm looking at this, I'm listening to this, a lot of this is making sense for me on a grand scale, but also personally and professionally as well. I have felt that kind of the masters, the guides are kind of going, whoa, 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 hold on, you know, you'll have your chance, you'll have your time, And with all of this stuff that we've discussing now, to some people it might be like, you're absolutely barking mad. But what if, Jeremy? What if? Over to you.
Well, you know, we've been, you know, often people are railed at for being, you know, tinfoil hat wearers, conspiracy theorists. I hate that, conspiracy theorists.
Theory, actual realists, you know. would be the best term for that. Yeah.
But here's the thing. Now, this Farsight experiment that we were talking about with Courtney Brown, those two timelines, those were referring to timelines that people believed in RV, or at least acknowledged it to be real, because it won't be belief, really. And the recognition that we're not alone in the universe. Those appear to be very major points into the number of people who are who pass at that moment. But again, it takes us to another question. We're all talking about this whole ascension business, and what is ascension but, you know, moving to another state of being. So what happens on that day if we get hit? Now, we don't even know if we're going to be hit by a solar flare or by space rocks or by hot space rocks or if the Earth is going to split apart. But what he's talking about is that a vast amount of the Pacific is going to boil away, which will reduce the sea level, but increase the cloud. That's one of the scenarios that he's talking about. And then obviously, you know, it may not create these big waves, not in the way that we regard a tsunami, but there may be big waves, you know. So who knows if that 2012 programming film called 2012 is coming our way. But here's the thing. Here is the big thing. The more in touch you are with your spiritual life, the more in touch you are with your higher self, the more you have a sense of timing, of correct timing, of appropriate timing. Mm-hmm. Now, the more you practice going by this sense that we have, everybody's got this sense, which is, now it's time to go. You know, whether it's time to leave a concert, maybe everybody's milling around and chatting, but you think, no, I've got to go now, and you go, and you find that you're just ahead of the big traffic jam, and you get out, and you get to where you need to be. And if you'd have waited just a minute more, then you'd have got caught in the traffic, and you'd have been delayed, and da-da-da-da-da. So what I'm saying is that every human has the ability to sense time in this way. Cliff calls it kairos, which is the ability to do something at the right time. One of the effects of that isn't being in the right place at the right time, because, you know, if you have an impulse to move and to you know, either leave the house or you know, come home to the house or wherever you're going to be going, at the appropriate time, you get a good journey. You know, the journey is correct. And if you procrastinate, you find that there are other things that collect on that, and accretion happens, and you end up really late, or you end up frustrated, or, you know, just it all goes wrong. You know, there is also the other way. You know, you could have an appointment at 3, and as has happened to me in the past, and you wake up at 2:30, and you're more than half an hour away from the appointment. You, rather than panic, you just take your time, get there, and you find that the person who you're supposed to be meeting is also late an equivalent amount of time. You arrive exactly at the right time. People are often follow the clock rather than their own sense. And what I'd say is that I'd recommend is to feel your sense if it's the right time to leave, the right time to do what you need to do. I think it would be advantageous to all of humanity if we were to be in touch with those inner senses. So with that, I'm going to play a little tune, because we're just past the witching hour. I'm going to play some Moby. appropriate enough, the sky is broken. See you in a few minutes. Have a nice cup of tea.
See, the storm is broken in the middle of the night. Nothing left here for me. It's washed away. The rain pushes the buildings aside. The sky turns black. The sky. Wash it far. Push it out to sea. Nothing left here for me. I watch it lift up to the sky. I watch it crush me. And then I die. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. That finished quick.
So, Chris, are you there?
Yes, still here.
That's all right.
Multitasking.
The music quiz. The music finished. And I was running downstairs to make some more tea. Horizontal dancing. So, what is this song? This song is, the song that you just heard was The Sky Is Broken by Moby. So, where were we? Sorry, I'm all out of breath from running up the stairs. What had we just covered? The sense of timing is where we're at. The being able to get your... to be able to... to be able to feel the time. We're slaves to time. Do you know why we're a slave to time, Chris?
I'm blank right now, Jeremy.
We wear a manacle. People pay. This is what really gets me, right? We wear a manacle to time, right? And people pay squillions of their money, of their hard-earned money, to have a pretty manacle, one with gold plating. It's still a manacle. I'm talking about your wristwatch.
Could you explain a manacle, please? A manacle, Jeremy. I'm a bit inept with that.
A manacle, that's the thing that goes on the end of a chain.
Okay.
That holds your leg, or your arm, your ankle, or your wrist. Right. It's what a slave wears.
Aha, yes, I get you.
Some people are really proud of them. They're proud of their little manacles, and they're jealous of each other's manacles. You know, oh, you've got a Rolex manacle, you know. Mine's a Timex, you know. But essentially, you know, it's locked to your arm, and you live by it. Now, I'm sure that plenty of us in this group, in the chat room, certainly, can't and don't or won't wear watches. I personally don't carry a watch. I carry a mobile phone. Which is a handy little pocket computer as far as I'm concerned, and it's like an iPod, and I use it to play tunes in my car and things like that. Scrillions. And then, generally, you know, you could say, oh, I'll be there at 3 or I'll be there at 2, and that's often fine enough. You know, you don't need to be exactly on time, because everybody, like I said before, you know, everybody gets delayed and stopped from being in particular places at a particular time. And I trust that everything is in the right order, that where I'm going and when I'm going to get there is going to be exactly open for me. I mean, for instance, you might arrive on time for an appointment, and everybody else... I mean, assuming you've been to the doctors, this is what like at the doctors. You make an appointment for 8 o'clock, and you get seen at 10. That's useless, isn't it? Why wait around? It would be better to... Sorry, Wolf Baby just made me laugh. As a little joke there, that she's got a clock in her living room. That is stopped, is the battery's dead, and it says it's 20 to 7 all the time. So that's one thing about it is, you know, if you've got a clock that's stopped, you know, it's at least right twice a day. So where are we? Yes, it's just 10 past midnight, and you're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio, and click or visit PayPal and send as much as you can afford in to the donate facility. We have a button on the top right of each page in Wolf Spirit Radio. We're supported entirely by Well, actually, to be honest, you know, we're supported by Dave's pension, really. So it would be much better if it was supported by listeners. Dave has put in his money and his time. I put in my time and my skills into building Wolf Spirit Radio up. And it's been wonderful to watch it build. But it would be good if it were to be self-sustaining by people who are perhaps, hopefully, benefiting from listening to the station. We don't charge for anything. We're just asking for donations. So thank you very much for putting donations in. And please visit the top right-hand corner of every page on Wolf Spirit Radio. Having said that, money and time, it could all be... well, actually, let's talk about money for a minute. The euro, Christopher. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The euro, Greece. What's happening? What have you seen? What have you seen happening? And what's your feeling about what might come down?
Okay. Well, what's gone on within the past couple of hours is that we'd two parties on the finishing line. We had, you know, the far left and the far right. So basically, the pro euro party in Greece. They've narrowly just made it with 130 seats. So they're invited now to assemble a government in Greece. So they may not necessarily be kicked out of the eurozone, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the other parties are going to agree who are involved in with the seats in government are going to agree to the austerity measures, you know. So that's currently what's happening. This party, New Democracy in Greece, have won by just a narrow margin votes to form government in Greece. So some people may be breathing a sigh of relief. Bankers and whatnot may be like, well, the bank runs have happened, but it's not necessarily a catastrophe yet, but sorry, JP, you asked me where do I feel this is going. Is that correct?
Okay.
I mentioned about what's currently going on in Greece. So that's still organic. It's holistic. It's still occurring. I feel that we're hanging on by an absolute thread, that things really are grinding to a halt. It's a tough one to feel and to say. You really feel that there's a particular timeline on it, and it, you know, the euro is just going to come crashing down. The you know, its system will kind of like break apart, and will then, there's that word, you know, recapitulate. But then kind of something comes in to save it and to replace it. I really feel, you know, in the words of David Icke and JP, there's a lot of problem reaction solution stuff which is going on behind this as well. It's very hard to look at the BBC. It's quite hard to look at, you know, an interesting website and paper such as The Guardian as well. I find it's tough to sift through and to look for your kind of like target points of information nowadays as to what's really going on and what they feel, you know, may happen and what their forecasts and their predictions are, because, you know, lo and behold, they come to this like kind of pinnacle moment, you know, where the eurozone is just hours or days away from completely kind of like breaking down and going into another type of Lehman Brothers style scenario, but that's not it. Something is going on, and it's just hanging on by, you know, an absolute thread. I'm really just trying to gather what I can all I can say to yourself, JP, and to the listeners is that from where I am, I feel that we still could be in the same position where I wouldn't be surprised if we were in the same position as we are right through, you know, economically with the system in Europe, right until, you know, and what's going on around the world, right until the, dare I say, the end of this year, because out of what's currently going on in the euro, there's new implementations, there's new programs occurring, you know, for example, there's like an upcoming European, you know, fiscal treaty, which is being proposed and put out there as well. And I would also strongly encourage people to really get stuck in and have a look at Max Keiser as well, because if you really want to take a crash course in economics and have stuff like laid down to you on, you know, in layman's terms as well, yeah, just type in www.maxkeiser, K-E-I-S-E-R, Max Keiser as one word, .com.
Yeah, I
and
love
look
Max.
At his works and interviews. He is, you know, the guy is eccentric. He's hugely entertaining, but he is spot on, and he and his guests will lay down to you and everyone else around you what exactly is going on, how criminal it is. He will help to lift the veil from your eyes, as into what is really, really going on.
Well, like
economically,
Chris, like our friend Marty, who we interviewed a couple of years ago. Max Keiser is a poacher turned gamekeeper kind of thing. He was one of the, what do they call them? Masters of the Universe, they used to call themselves. Who used to be deeply in the financial scam.
He used to be a trader.
Yeah,
he used to be a trader. Yeah, he used to do all the naked short selling and all of these things. He worked in Wall Street. He was knee deep in this crap, like everyone else. But his work now is to educate people as into what is like really going on, and he uses like fantastic and eccentric and very humorous and entertaining examples just to you know, lots of similes, like and as, and you really have to tune in and listen to Max on Russia Today on RT.com or on MaxKeiser.com. That will really, he and his guests will really give you an even better interpretation and impression, rather than what I'm saying now, about where they really feel where we are going. And it's the same stuff again and again. Like Max, what really drives Max is like, well, how come people can't get this? Part of his work is like, well, how come people can't get this? Okay, I'll break it down to them again and again and again about all of the Ponzi schemes, John Corzine, Jamie Dimon, you know, Goldman Sachs and what. It's just unfortunate, JP. We still have people, you know, nowadays who are saying what's happened in Greece is the Greek people's fault, for example, and also what's happened in Ireland is the Irish people's fault. That is the biggest load of codswallop that anyone could ever hear.
Well, this is the whole thing. This is something that has always been a bit of a bugbear for me, you know. You say, well, you know, we've been attacked, we've been victimized by, you know, reptoids or Anunnaki or banksters or this or that, and people will always say, oh, but, you know, we brought it on ourselves, we should have been stronger. No, we didn't bring it on ourselves, we've been victimized. These people came in. They knew they had superior knowledge. They knew they had. It's like coming into a classroom of 3-year-olds and taking their food away, and they taking their crayons away. It's easy for them.
Well, basically, you know,
this is one of these things that really touches me. Sorry, Chris. This is something that really touches me. Sure. We have been victimized. That doesn't mean we have to play victim, but we do have to realize that we are being we have been affected, influenced, and downright, you know, twisted by an external force that is, when I say it's not our fault, it's not our, you know, we didn't invite it. We were just complacent. We just thought that's the way, you know, we're enjoying life as it is. And then I don't want to use any word. I'm trying to think of a word that I can say on there. These people, these beings come in and and really mess things up. But, on the other hand, you know, it's all good. Here we are. We're at the other end of that. We're now realizing that we have been victimized, and we're learning to detox from their programming. Yes. And I think, you know, I just noticed in the chat room, you know, there's a few things about, you know, drugs and food and all of that stuff. Yes, it's important to have good drugs and good drugs, yes, good weed, and good food, you know, good organic food. Make sure your weed is organic, by the way. We haven't had that much experience in kind of separating ourselves from those influences. And that's, I think, really, that's one of the major things that we're doing on stations like this. This is, you know, what Camelot's about, because there's a whole bunch of secret stuff that we had no idea was going on that has had an influence on us. And now we're realizing that the what we called an economic system has just been a game, a scam, to rip us all off from our energy and to turn us into slaves. So, I wonder how many people tomorrow are going to put their watches down. Probably no one's going to listen to me, but I mean, it's very interesting to see what happens if you don't wear a watch, get back to our natural sense of timing. There are many inner senses that we have. You know, the Kabbalah says we have 22 inner senses. That's what each of these characters are. And again, what the tarot is. It's about our inner senses. You know, our sense of atmosphere when we walk into a room. Our sense of whether a picture is skewed or not. Or, you know, people with various situations like OCD notice that much more. It's an expression of an inner sense. We all have them. And if we developed all 22 of them, we would be the superhumans that Nietzsche talks about. What do you think?
No, little to say back about that, Jeremy. I really feel that is really on target there, you know. Just kind of touching back to what we were saying, like regarding kind of like Max and finance, whatnot, and to keep it kind of smooth and esoteric and whatnot, I really feel that, you know, people have been very hard on themselves. Unfortunately, you know, with what has been going on regarding the financial world, I really feel, Jeremy, that people should give them that they could give themselves more of a break, you know, to help smoothen things out with what is going on. It's not all your fault. It's not all your fault. Don't believe the crap that you're being fed by propaganda from the MSM, from the mainstream media as well, that is still being waved in front of people's faces. It's because you took ABC and XYZ and all of these things. That is why we are here. And it really, it does. It really gets me, Jeremy, as well. And like it got you there when you do have, you know, you've got like the Liberal Democrats here, for example, in the UK. Well, yeah. Well, what happened was it was a combination of government kind of like actions but it was mostly got to do with the banks and people's actions and the loans they took out and whatnot. No, absolutely no. It's got to do with what was even underneath that as well, the carrots that were being fed to us as well, how we've been manipulated for years, for decades, for centuries, for hundreds of years, how much this stuff has been innately programmed into us as well, Jeremy. I really feel that people could give themselves more of a break, because the deprogramming is now occurring. It's been occurring for quite some time, and it's been speeding up. People are learning about, you know, they're looking at the money masters, they are learning about fractional reserve banking and whatnot. They're really getting stuck into this stuff with Max, and that's really freeing people's minds, hearts and minds up now. They're like, hold on a second, I am a responsible being, I am responding to life, I am a responsible person, this is not all of my burden. Fair enough, I took out this loan, I took out this money and whatnot, but I really know what's going on now. I really understand these banking practices and what's occurred, the choices that I've made. I really feel it's quite a battle of all this stuff being plastered at people kind of like constantly. It's all about kind of like you. It's a kind of like a deflection away from government responsibility and from the fact that we've got establishments like JP Morgan Chase who are actually running the food voucher program for 50% of I think of Americans who are on the between 40 to 50 million or I think it's million or 40 something percent of Americans who are on like food stamps right now. It's like the biggest giveaway for that, Jeremy, is like when you understand and it's out there in plain view that JP Morgan are actually responsible and running this food stamp program in America. It's like, well, why say kind of like no more? Why say any more about that? And what people, all I'll finish off by saying about Greece, Jeremy, is that what people have got to realize that no, it is innately not the Greek people's faults for what has occurred right there now. They're going through incredible, absolutely incredible, tragic austerity there right now, which they're trying to break free from. And it was Goldman Sachs, the technocrats, and its Cretans as well, who cooked the books for Greece to enter into the European Union in the first place. And these are the exact same people who bring out Facebook IPO and who get them kind of like floating their stock and whatnot, and then all of a sudden you find like about a week or 2 weeks later, yeah, the shares aren't actually worth that much at all. Basically, the books are constantly fiddled. But what people are realizing more now is that the information, Jeremy, the exposition is actually happening a lot quicker. People are not being fooled as much anymore. Mm. We had this with Kony 2012 as well. There was this great kind of like within a week of this Kony meme 2012 thing going viral. There was a massive exposition, all the data gaps and the holes and the Swiss cheese and all of this was coming out left, right and center, and then all of a sudden you see this, you know, the founder Jason whatever his name of Kony 2012 went absolutely bonkers, and he was spotted on camera like on a street damaging vehicles, and he was like completely, you know, he was butt naked and stuff like that. So
hang on a second, Chris.
You know,
I didn't follow much of that. I saw this Kony thing, and you know, the first I saw like about 5 minutes of it, and it was like, take time to watch this. This is an experiment. I thought nobody's going to experiment on my bloody head, so I couldn't be arsed with it. And then I saw later it's, oh yeah, this is a scam, and I could see that it was a way to, it was propaganda again to try and create a militarized solution to what is essentially a financial problem.
Economic hitman.
Yeah.
it's just another front for the economic hitman, for natural resources to be exploited in Africa. And if people want to know more about that, I suggest they look at John C. Perkins, The Confessions of an Economic Hitman. But again, it was just kind of more of a cool front, and that was really kind of programmed towards young people with this Kony 2012 thing, and the outright propaganda and lies that were behind that was just incredible with what was being fed to people.
Yeah,
Jeremy.
Well, it's all about, you know, let's bomb for peace. It's just ridiculous. You know.
Yes, of course. And it was interesting. I saw a very nice quote by Mr. Harold Zinn. Last night, and in terms of, you know, like the war on terrorism, well, isn't war itself an act of of terrorism. This terrorism would not be occurring if we didn't have war. So, you know, to the listeners and to whoever's listening to the recording, you know, when you hear on MSM, if you do kind of turn on CBS or whatever it is that the American listeners would listen to and view and on the television, you know, on the TV, when you hear about the war on terrorism, it's, well, you know, war itself is an act of terrorism. Kind of like have a think about that one for a change.
So interesting things coming in. Bright Eyes was saying Confessions of an Economic Hitman, excellent documentary. Let's just recapitulate on some of the things that you've referred to in the last hour, Chris. You've been talking about the Farsight Institute, which is the... Can you give the URL for that?
Yeah, sure, I can indeed. It is www.farsight, that's FARSIGHT.org. I posted a link to the Wolf Spirit Switchboard Skype chat there, okay, Jeremy, right, if you wanted to copy and paste something in, that would probably help. That would bring people straight through to the post-2012 thing that we were talking about. And just to kind of round off, I was going to round that off in part two of the show, but, you know, I would be straightforward with people and offer, you know, an apology to the listeners or to the people listening to the recorded version of this show in the archive, that this is not meant to, you know, inject fear. It's not meant with a fearful intent. Please forgive me if this information, the things that we've been talking about here, you know, has caused some fear or some alarm in you. I found this information, you know, it's very important to speak about and to, you know, to digest. And Cliff specifically said about getting this out there. And I'd also like to add on to that, you know, one very important thing that Mr. Courtney Brown says, that the about the future itself, that we just have probabilities, that we know that the future is quote unquote probabilistic, you know, this may, number one, or number two, may or may not happen. It may or may not happen, but still, you know, be awake, be aware as into what is going on for you on a personal, professional level, and what is going on existentially to you as well. Look at the detail, look at the data of your own life and this information, this data, what we're talking about here, you know, kind of closely, and do your own kind of like life map of what is going on now. Because I was talking to you during the break, Germany, and Jeremy, and there's so many things that make sense where people are kind of moving to in the world and what's kind of like, you know, coming up for them as well. And if you label this to the geophysical, like, kind of map of events, which what is like occurring right now in the world, it's incredibly interesting, and this also relates to what we've been talking about post 2012 for June 2013 also. So I just wanted to cap that off, that things are probabilistic for the future. Remain awake and aware, you know, regarding this information, and my sincere apologies if this did kind of like feel fearful or alarming, you know, to you. The intent is not to cause that. The intent is to openly discuss this as well, and to help you in some way with your own process and understanding as into what information is being shared right now from, in my view, Jeremy, very very intelligent and very reliable sources such as Cliff I and Courtney with his work on farsight.org.
So if you you'll notice that I posted in the Farsight link into the chat room, and also the Cliff's Wujo. If you're wondering what that word means, the door is the place where a path is practice. So if you have a you're working with a judo, then you are practicing it in a jujo. Because Cliff worked in the woo-woo world, he calls it the woo-jo. He's an Aikido fan, so so that's why he calls it the woo-jo. So Cliff's place where he practices his woo-woo has been linked into the chat room. Follow it. You can download the things for free. Again, he takes donations. Do drop a dollar or something for him.
Or a Bitcoin. That's what he deals with as well. Bitcoins, yeah.
Yeah. I'd encourage people to join the Bitcoin community and start to trade in those, especially if we're trading across long distances. Start using local currencies. Oh, let me talk about that. Because I had a chat with... not quite off topic, but I had a chat with my friend Stu, who... he and I created this Let's System database about 13 years ago, and we've developed it for a few years, and we've come up with probably the most successful Let's System in Europe. It's certainly very long running. We've been running it for 14 years now, and we've passed 1.5 million Let's traded. We had a little trade fair yesterday. Anyway, I was having a chat with him, and he was saying how burnt out he is with, you know, just trying to run it on a local basis. And I'm saying, you know, everybody needs this this thing. So eventually, what we got down to is that we have decided to open source it, which basically it's an Access database. Made with Microsoft Access 97, the first and good one, the best and good one. If anybody is interested in porting it or helping it to implement on other systems, what I'd really love is if it was PHP MySQL, so that it can run on entirely free software, either standalone or over a network. And that we can find ways of propagating this data system throughout the world, so that if you're subject to an economic collapse or crisis, local currency is all still available. So if anybody's interested in this in the archives or elsewhere, or if they're listening live, do get in touch with me. I'm jp@everbeyond.info. That's my email, and let me know if you're a tech kind of guy and you'd like to or gal and you'd like to help me to port this onto PHP or any other language, as long as we can get it into a kind of standalone form, completely open source. Everybody knows how it works. All it is a double entry booking system, but the clever bit is the funky reports that we can do and create directories and all these nice things. So that's the sort of thing that we need people to take on tasks of, is writing that. If we can do that really quickly, we can get a really good situation going where people can just download a system and boom, they can start running their local exchange. As a little plug for a project that won't make anybody any money, but it will make you kudos in the world at large once everybody realizes what you're sorry, I've just been distracted. I ate kryptonite for breakfast. So anyway, so Superman, la 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 la, president, la 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 la. Let's not talk about Obama. It's an ambiguity, and I think it's a real distraction whether he's a good guy or a bad guy. He's in the company of bad guys. So let's just put it like that. If he tries to make a good move, it'll probably be turned bad. That's the way things happen in these things. Until we've managed to... Oh, yeah. Yeah, whatever happened to Drake? You know, whatever happened to mass arrests? Oh, we weren't ready for it. Oh, yeah, I've heard that one before. When are the UFOs landing? Oh, we didn't have it because we're not ready for it. Yeah, all right, okay. So, where are we?
Well, they could be lanting for the Olympics, guys. You know, in London, you never know. And Nick Pope, who used to work for the UK government, you know, the UK government's type of ex-files, you know, he is publicly released, and he has said within the past week to 2 weeks that, you know what, I really would be surprised if we had like a lot of activity that is going around, you know London, you know, keep an eye in the skies from and before and after the 28th of July of 2012. You know, we could have a landing. Just stay open-minded regardless, because all eyes will be collectively on the UK and will be on that massive stadium in East London. So you never know.
Yeah, interesting. somebody said Drake went underground with Hillary. Oh, you're very funny, Green Stallion. Meanwhile, oops. James said something very rude about Nick Pope. He may well be a kind of shill, you know, that's been kind of groomed for putting out misinformation at the appropriate part. There's interesting. You live not very far from the stadium, do you?
No, I don't. Well, I'm based in the, not going to give out exact coordinates. Yeah. You know, you never know who's listening, but I'm based.
Do you have a window that faces that direction?
I don't, unfortunately. No. I'm based, you know, in London, in East London. I'm not too far away, and I will say that synchronistically, you know, I will be, you know, out of the country just before and after the opening ceremony, which I'm very pleased about. I was thinking about this the other day, Jeremy, and I was kind of hoping we were going to have a few minutes on London and 2012. A lot of people are talking about false flags and thermonuclear devices and what may happen and whatnot. I really feel, Jeremy, and I'll be blunt about it, that, you know, people have been talking about this and circulating this information so much that, you know, the powers that be and people who may be involved in trying to cause a false flag might be like, you know what, F it, you know, we're not going to try this now, because there's going to be so many people are not going to believe this, because people are really on top of the whole 9/11 thing, and it really, of course, we all know it doesn't add up about 9/11. I'm with everyone in the woo-woo community on that. I really don't buy it, but it's interesting, you know. Information has come out that security for the Olympics has been contracted, has been part contracted to a company called G4S. And they've got a lot of complicity in the Israeli-Palestine situation, which has been occurring as well. People could do a little bit of research on that. There is a blog about that on Kerry Cassidy's Project Camelot portal.com site regarding the Olympics and G4ST security firm who've been drafted in, and that they do have Israeli roots. And please, you know, listeners, don't forget that the London Underground system as well, a lot of their security cameras and their devices and their general running as well, does have Israeli patents. You know, that information is out there. I would suggest that people go and research that. So there is a huge collation of information there, and which people could look at that. Which I really find, Jeremy, which is quite suspicious, really. But
Chris,
I do feel that.
I just want to. Are you aware of Rick Clay?
Yes,
because apparently he's said something about the Olympics. I don't know if you come across it. I know you're an avid researcher.
Aware of Rick Clay, yeah.
But no, so okay. So
that's fine. I'm aware of Rick Clay. I won't be too long. I'll give you a chance to get in to get in, Jeremy. And again, just to kind of reinforce what I was saying, I'll be blunt. I feel there is a great possibility that nothing will happen, because so many of us are talking about it. This has been circulated, you know, up, down, left and right across the globe, that there is quite there is quite a consensus that feels that that would be prepared for a false flag to occur, and we really would just not buy it since 9/11 and 7/7. That's what I was talking about, Jeremy. This kind of quickening. This people are like, aha, they're having their aha moments. There's an inconsistency there in the information, you know, Jordan Maxwell's work and whatnot on, you know, looking at symbolism. People are really, really becoming, you know, awake and aware, having their awakenings and whatnot in the past couple of years. And they're looking very, very closely at the inconsistency, you know, of the information, the symbols and markers and things like that, and they're really going, aha, I don't necessarily buy that. People are generating their own critical thought and thoughts, plural, regarding what is occurring. So really, Jeremy, a great part of me feels that, you know what, the Olympics could go off without a hitch. I really would not be surprised, but there is a percentage of me which is open to the fact and is quite concerned that something could happen, and it's quite synchronistic that, you know, there are people who are naturally going to be out of the country and naturally be away from the Olympics during that period. It still does worry me. Don't get me wrong.
Well, I mean, there's this thing, right? My blood sister, lives a stone's throw, literally, you know, very quick walking distance from the stadium.
I know where she is.
But she's just like everybody else, you know. She listens to the news, she watches the, you know, she talks to everybody, watches Coronation Street and all that stuff. And anything that I said would just be incense, you know, it would be taken wrongly.
Load of tosh, as
yeah,
they call it.
Yeah. So really, I'm keeping my silence on it, and I think this is something that all of us, you know, in this community, we're watching these things, and every time there's a potential false flag going on, we, you know, think, oh, I've got to tell so and so, and then you tell them, and then nothing happens, and your credibility drops down and down and down and down and down.
Of course.
Until a point when you know, nothing you say is believed anymore. And that's part of the work. That's part of their work to discredit this kind of study. That, you know, we know how they work. Now, we have seen, I think, false flags going around the world. Certainly, it appears that Fukushima was a false flag event. It happened on a 3/11. We see that there are all these other things that generate large amounts of insurance money, you know, and that's really their scam. You know, they blow something up and then go, oh, somebody else did that, and then they collect on the insurance, and they're all in with the lawyers, and it's all a horrible, nasty den of vipers down there. But to see all, you know, to see what are becoming more and more obvious false flags coming up around the world, it's, I think we've all been honed, you know. I think if we can see something that is really going to happen, and it would vindicate us, but to what cost? You know, if I were to say, oh, look at that, that was a false flag, this event happened, and look at that, and then everybody goes, yeah, but look all the people that died. You know, I was, you know, my family died, you know, my such and such cousin died in 9/11. How can you dare say stuff like that? It was obviously the Muslims, you know. And I just, you know, just facepalm that. You know?
That's the programming. That's the programming, and that's their stuff. So it's learning to kind of go okay, and taking you know, a step back from that. But that's incredibly stuff. It's like, how dare we say stuff about, you know, Iraq? I had someone that died in Iraq, or how dare you say something about our boys in Afghanistan, when you would actually say to someone, well, I have a question for you, what have these people of Afghanistan been doing which has directly affected you in your life and pretty much all of the people in the UK? If it was the other way around, wouldn't you be defending your own space from these particular foreign invaders who are trying to control the trillions of pounds and dollars worth of natural minerals that are actually based there as well, the all the lithium that's there as well to make all of those batteries, you know, for commercial consumption and also for war as well.
If it's to do with energy, look, I think the basic thing is that if somebody if there's an event, all right, and it's to do with something that generates energy, you know, whether it's nuclear power like Fukushima, or like lithium, digging up lithium, or digging up gold, the mob's going to be involved in it, and they're going to pull the fast one. They've been pulling it for years and years and years. It's an ancient formula. It works. People believe it, and they just rake in the profits, and we suffer. And also at the same time, we, you know, our beliefs are influenced. You know. Like the whole thing about Muslims, you know, Muslims are our friends. They're just like us.
Yes, they are. And they're beautiful people. And beautiful I've met people. And I've
and
worked
very,
with
very,
quite a
very,
few
very integrated. You know, what very they say, spiritual. Their word is their bond. You know, it's, you know, this whole thing about the virgins and, oh, yes, I know all about the Muslims. Oh, yeah. I know all about the Muslims. They blow somebody up and they're promised that they're given virgins in heaven. Oh, come on. Leave me out of that. I'm so sick of talk like that. And I'm sure we all are. You know, we have to exhibit compassion. And sometimes exhibiting compassion towards the powers that be can involve allowing them to be dropped into it. You know, it would be the most compassionate thing for them to stop. All right, here's a thought, right? Okay, if you want to exhibit compassion towards the powers that be, how about the finding a way to walk into their buildings and with a camera and expose a little bit more of what they're up to? It's compassionate to stop them, because otherwise you're allowing them to continue building up their own bad karma. That's one way of looking at it.
Ultimately, with all of this stuff that is going on, they're really shooting themselves in the foot at the end of the day, and they will be found out. Like, this is really a double-edged sword, you know, to use that boring old cliche, you know, at the end of the day. And it was a very funny thing I wanted to insert here regarding, it was David Icke. David Icke said this with his interview with Cliff High back in February of this year. Check out that interview. That was really great. Cliff has that on his website.
Yes, oh yeah, excellent.
And yes, indeed, it was, as Cliff said, it was one hellacious interview that the two of them had, like David Icke and Cliff High. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic stuff, guys. You really
joyful
should check
moment.
It out. But anyway, David Icke says, well, I know what people could do. You could go down to the head of the, you know, Illuminati in London, or go into these Masonic lodges and go, guys, you know, I've really heard a lot of great things about the, you know, the Illuminati. I've really heard a lot of great things, you know, about the about the Masons and your lodge here, you know, in London, and I'd really like to join. Get dozens and dozens and dozens of people to go down and flood these places. And have a kind of like a make a friend with the Mason day, or make friends with the Illuminati day, with the Illuminati type of day, and say, look, I've heard some fantastic things and what you do for people regarding this, and I really feel this could benefit me, so where can I sign up? You know, there's some, like, and they'd be like, huh? You know, there's really a lot of reverse psychology involved with that. It would pretty much have them turning on their heels. I really feel it would. It would freak them out in a way that they're like, oh well, the jig's up. People seem to know a lot about us, really. So I thought that was very funny. Actually, I wanted to share that.
Yeah, just to let people know, I'm actually from London, and it's I suppose it's the equivalent of a kind of well, y'all, kind of a country hick kind of accent. It's a London sheeple kind of accent. Somebody says, is that your David Icke voice? No, it's my Jeremy voice. And yes. That's right. I have a request. Oh, no, you can't do that, little me. Must follow the sheeple in front of me. So there we go. Years of living with people in London. You know, I left London at the age of 32, so... I have plenty of experience there. So it's coming up to the hour. These 2 hours have just whacked by, Chris, eh?
And they've been very enjoyable. Thank you very much, Jeremy. It's not all the time that we do this, but you know, I'm not one of these speakers that would be on the likes of Red Ice and all of these other kind of like shows. So it's really nice to be one of the laymen to kind of to get in there, to share, to care, to disseminate, and to really kind of discuss the toss-up of information that we have here and what's going on, most importantly, in the now, in the present moment. Mm. And to take it from there, it's been very enjoyable. Thank you.
Yes. And when I was in London last year, Chris and I grabbed a friend of his who was this city slicker from days gone by, one of the masters of the universe, as he called himself, and interviewed him. I think we should do that once again, actually. I think grab him by the neck and drag him into a place where there's and you bring your laptop and we'll interview him for one of our shows. That would be a very
well. The iPhone offers fantastic. He was at a Max Kaiser and Stacey Herbert conference in London on June the 3rd with Ian R. Crane as well. And, he recorded it for me, and the iPhone itself has got fantastic recording facilities on it. So if we can organise that, Jeremy, for the listeners, at some point we'll have an explosive 2 hours to play on Wolf Spirit Radio with some very juicy information. Absolutely. Mm.
So we're about 4 minutes out now. So I think I'll did he call Red Ice a nut show? No. Red Ice is a very interesting show. It was, but with the Cliff High and David Icke wasn't Red Ice. It was.
I beg your pardon. It was on. Time Monk. I think it was on Time Monk. I beg your pardon, guys. Yeah. It was on Time Monk Radio Network. Yeah. TMRN. Time Monk Radio Network. But Cliff also did between 2 and 3 hours on Red Ice. Yeah. Probably between 1 and 2 months ago. I think it was back in early May or June, if you want to check his website for that. The first hour is actually on Red Ice Radio's website. You have to be a member to get the rest of that. But Cliff is quite quiet now. He's analysing quite a lot of like data, so he would rarely do shows like nowadays. So it's a bit of a gem when he does actually do a few hours on radio. You should really tune in for it, because he's a great guy to listen to.
Absolutely. Rainey just asked, can you get Billy Woodard on again soon? I did play the Billy Woodard archive today, earlier on today, because I just felt like it, and I could. It was a group interview, and there's Dave. So hopefully Dave will grab him, because Dave knows him personally, and get him into the studio once again for Wolf Spirit Radio. So I'd like to thank you all for listening. It's been a fun show. Thank you very much, Chris, for making it more fun.
Thank you,
Chris Noonan, otherwise known as Leprechaun 10. Joining us here on Wolf Spirit Radio for a bit of internet punditry, eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. So I would like to thank you all and pop on my little outro tune. Hello, pussycat. I have a cat that sits on my my broadcast computer. She sits on the little grill. Hello. She's now probably going to cut us all off. So... Where's my outro? Outro, ever beyond outro. There it is. Thank you very much, brothers and sisters. It's been wonderful working for you today. I'll see you all next week on ever be on. Also join me on Tuesday at 8 p.m. on Revolution Radio and Wolf Spirit Radio. That's 8 p.m. UK time, which is 12 EST and 3 EST. That's it for now. Good night.
Beyond.